Hello, fellow Rabbiteers. I am Ali, the driver of Big Day 3, and welcome to my final podcast of this series of Robot Wars. This, of course, will be for the grand final, or episode 6 of series 9, or series 2, grand final series 2, episode 6, whatever you want to call it. I've got completely lost whilst watching a quite frankly incredible series of battles. This has been a very fun episode to watch indeed. I don't know about you, but I've had some very big smiles across my face. So where do I start? Obviously, the introduction. I keep forgetting how big the warehouse is. I want that warehouse. That's incredible. Dara almost about to enact a Spider-Man routine there. About to jump off the side of that gantry there. I'd love to think he would try with obviously lots of safety involved for doing that, but never mind, it would look cool. Also, has Angela had a bit of a quick change of clothing there? I can't quite tell. She's normally wearing the overalls, but it looks like she's wearing more than one piece of clothing. I couldn't tell, and obviously they didn't make much of a thing of that, but there we go. That's a theme for this episode. Things that BBC don't seem to want you to notice, even when it's blatantly obvious. And then after that, we had the wild card pick. The judges chose based on the criteria of the aggression, damage, and control from the previous episodes that all these robots have been involved, which they said explicitly, although I suspect damage came into it as well. And they went for Apollo out of the choices that they had. Which was fair enough. They didn't have too much damage on them, but yeah, they were very impressive in their heats, even though they had to contend with Carbide. Compared to some of the other robots they had to go up against, like I say, it looked like a lot of damage, but it wasn't the worst by a long way. On to the group battle. We have the first one of Apollo, Aftershock, and Eruption. Eruption being the crowd favourite here, I sense. And with this, I noticed as well that a Flipper was guaranteed to go through, so they're head to head. It's interesting showing the damage from the previous episodes, and this was not seen in the old series, in that most robots would come out and they wouldn't mention explicitly that they'd suffer damage from the old series sometimes, so they'd come out with a missing panel, but they wouldn't say, for example. You'd think at this point they'd stop explaining the rules, but this is clearly not taken from the University Challenge rulebook where you have Jeremy Paxson saying, "Get on with it," meanwhile you've got Jonathan Pierce here. Also, have you noticed that both Jonathan Pierce and Jeremy Paxson have JP in their, as their initials? Coincidence? I think not. Regardless, anyway, Jonathan Pierce goes all boxing ring announcer over Sir Kill-A-Lot here. They're going, "Sir Kill-A-Lot," some sort of, also sounds a bit like a weird psycho parody. So the battle overall, Eruption went straight for Apollo, and Aftershock also gets flipped a bit. That said though, they did seem to end up ganging up on Apollo a little bit here, Eruption and Aftershock. But then, one flip from Apollo on Aftershock and the arena exploded! That's what I've put in my notes, the arena exploded. Before that, Eruption actually gets out of the way of Aftershock and Apollo. It looked as if Apollo was playing tennis with Aftershock against Eruption here. But that said, though, Aftershock managed a great amount of damage on Apollo even before Aftershock decides to eat the floor, who maybe should count as a contestant in all this. I find it interesting that they can't recharge weapons, but they are allowed to readjust their robots back to starting positions. The robots obviously at this point reduce power, or at least the amount of power they had is a lot less than what they could do. They go very cautiously into each other. But what a massive hit that was, Master Shock on Apollo. That was an absolutely beautiful shot. And like I keep saying, Aftershock is an excellently designed robot. That will also come into play later. Although they mentioned quite a bit about the ganging up, but it wasn't really ganging up as such on Apollo. It was simply Eruption just staying out of the way and happened to be in the right place at the right time. They did take a hit from Aftershock, but they survived reasonably well on that one. Dara, yes, Dara, again on my notes, I put down that Dara defended both the arena floor and Apollo there. I think there's memories of Robloquedness in that Apollo won the last series but fell at the final hurdle in the final, much like Robloq did. Mind you though, the rise of fire from some teams seems to be a winning combination, particularly in this group battle stage here in the final, because both Eruption and Aftershock are made up of fire from some teams. So on to group battle 2. Ironside 3, Concussion, beating Tor on the way, according to Dara, and Carbide, who is now apparently Voldemort in that he who must not be named becomes it who must not be named. Here, Jonathan Pierce cites the potential tactics of last battle of ganging up, and looking at the camera, Shunt is huge compared to all the robots in the arena here. So Carbide went for the first attack on Concussion, Ironside took a hit from Carbide as well, and Concussion was almost immediately in trouble, and they had bits ripped off everywhere. And ultimately, Carbide is just a fantastic machine, really. Yeah, Concussion was just gone in a blink of an eye, really, and the wheels exposed, the weapons taking some damage. But Ironside, to be fair, if they'd taken the first hit, they could have fared just as badly. But at the end of the day, we have two fast spinners in the final rounds here. Carbide spins up so quickly, it's incredible. Ironside seemed to back out a little bit, but they didn't really go for Carbide to begin with. Nobody really wants to go for Carbide at this point, it seems. And as if that wasn't enough, salt in the wound, Carbide takes the Ironside 3 self-righting mechanism. So I think we could see a bit of a pattern emerging here of the sheer amount of carnage being dished out by Carbide. So head-to-head one here is Eruption versus Ironside 3. And Eruption, they make it fairly explicit that they're going to run the marathon and not a sprint, because they know that they don't want to do too much damage to their opponents. Meanwhile, Ironside can't fix their self-righting mechanism in time, but still have that quite dangerous bar spinner. And look, here, yeah, but I liked the idea Eruption has this useful feature where it can control how much gas they use in each flip, which I think is pretty cool. Being able to control how much power your weapon has at any one moment in time is always useful to have at the end of the day. Unfortunately, this battle was rather one-sided. Eruption walked all over Ironside 3. They just constantly got under that bar spinner, and even the hits of Ironside on Eruption, they just weren't able to spin it fast enough, it seemed, or just weren't powerful enough to get through Eruption. Eruption, for all that I hate flippers, Eruption's a very, very well-designed robot. Even when they manage to flip themselves, Eruption are incredibly well-controlled. But I love the camera shot that they span to the judges. Professor Noel Sharkey looks like he lost his mortgage on that fight to one of the other judges when finally Eruption flips over Ironside 3. I don't know what he looked so shocked at. If it is just the power of Eruption taking out Ironside 3, then fair enough. But that reaction, as in the modern parlance, would say priceless. I would say possibly apoplectic if he lost his mortgage. There is some damage to that flipper, but that's I think that's easily one of my favourite battles of this series. And if it stopped there, I would have possibly said one of the best battles of all time, but we're only in the first head-to-head. Then we come on to the second head-to-head, which is Carbide versus Aftershock. And this is what my notes look like. I think I'm just going to read directly from them. Oh god, oh god, oh god, oh god, oh god, oh god, oh god. Exciting stuff. Quote, weapon to weapon from Aftershock. The BBC aren't half selling this one particular fight. This never happened before in the old series. Will the excellent design of Aftershock overcome Carbide this time, unlike its predecessor, who was Shockwave, who also fell to Carbide in the previous series? Going off page a little bit, I just stopped writing at this point. It was such an incredible fight. Back to my notes. After an incredible first hit, Aftershock stopped working. They might have failed the spin down test, but Carbide can't help themselves and do the unthinkable. Oh god, that side panel is embedded into the bulletproof glass. That is some incredible power from Carbide. Also, Aftershock's weapon also got destroyed. The BBC don't mention this little fact, which in itself is even more incredible. What do you think is more incredible? The fact that Aftershock lost its weapon first and the BBC failed to mention that? Or that Carbide ripped off the side panel and now got embedded in the bulletproof glass? To be honest, I think actually losing the weapon's more incredible because that's more difficult to remove out of the robot. But that insane amount of power from Carbide, and the fact that it can keep spinning, thing of beauty. I keep saying that Aftershock is an excellently designed robot. It's particularly good against flippers because of its design. But Carbide is just on another level here. But that said, despite there was a massive amount of shock value in that actual battle, but as a tactical thing, I think the first head-to-head was actually better, to be honest. Anyway, let's move on to the next head-to-head, or else I'll just keep going around in circles about what shock value actually does to robot wars. So we have Eruption versus Carbide. Carbide here, trying to talk tactics against Eruption. Eruption started out very well for the first 30 seconds, just going in as a big ram rather than trying to use their flipper against Carbide, which worked quite well for a time, and hoping that Carbide with the recoil will fly out the arena or lose power. But Carbide manages to knock out the CO2 pressure from Eruption and ultimately just take one too many hits, really. But they look in good shape. At least they're not in pieces like Aftershock. Then we've seen the next battle, Aftershock go through the mother of all rebuilds. That's not a reference to the Americans and their mother of all bombs, by the way. Yes, you can date this podcast if you're listening from the future. Hello, I'm in the past. All right, so Carbide at this point's also in the grand final. They make a mention of that, which is fair enough. It's factually accurate, at the very least. On to the fourth head-to-head here. At this point, you'd think They might have mentioned something from the judges about technological innovations, but I think they're just focusing on robots at this point, which is probably for the best. So now we've got Ironside 3 versus Aftershock. This is where the serious rebuilding is for Aftershock. Wow. Oh, wow. I hope no other robot has to go through this. I mean, Worm was put into a bin, but my goodness, that is dedication. But then that team member coming in saying that you have 25 minutes to go, just completely out of, well, they were out of place. Not that clip itself. Someone telling them they had limited time is fine. If they were at least wearing some gloves, I would think that they would actually look more in place. But it was just, they looked so much like they've just come straight out of an office, given a memo saying, please tell this team, telling them how much time they've got. And they just, they looked so out of place. It was quite funny. At least give that person some gloves. Seriously, not your wooden gloves, hard gloves that you use for welding things. Considering that they've just had to rebuild their robot, that was probably one of the most stressful things they could have had out there. The poor five and some team for Aftershock, the poor guys. So, amazingly, Aftershock come out with a working robot with a working weapon. A weapon that's been obviously not the same ones before because that got completely destroyed. So they're using a weapon, a new weapon, that's not been mentioned. I think it might have got mentioned in the first episode that they had interchangeable spinners, but they don't mention it again. Again, the BBC just aren't saying enough here. If they have time to mention these things as well, which is what annoys me a little bit. But other than that, I can't fault Robot Wars for what it is. Anyway, back to the actual battle itself. Ironside 3 ran away to start with, after Aftershock got themselves up to power very quickly. They managed a great hit on Ironside, and I thought that was it, to be honest. I thought Ironside were out. But the Aftershock weapon backfired and stopped working. Unfortunately, the quick rebuild doesn't quite hold up to plan. The weapon hits its own armor. Sparks come off it. It's such a shame. But Aftershock keep going. To be fair, Ironside 3, with this the freedom they have now of not being hit by anything else, really. They hit Aftershock around. The Arena Spike avenges the floor tile from previously as they flip Aftershock over. And Ironside 3 have 1 foot in the grand final. That all they have to do now is to beat Carbide. Or at least get to a judge's decision, surely. All they have to do. Fingers crossed for Ironside 3, you would think. Meanwhile, poor Aftershock. At least now they get more time to rebuild. Because they were in that battle with no without their polycarbonate, they had to use sticky they had to use tape instead of polycarbonate. Poor guys. But credit to them for rebuilding that robot inside 2 hours. That was incredible. I'm not sure we could do that, but then again, we've never had to rebuild our robot completely, so who knows? So, Carbide versus Ironside 3. Someone play me Duel of the Fates, please. This was a lightsaber battle. How many sparks were coming off those bar spinners? The amount of times they kept hitting each other was amazing. It was just like watching Star Wars for me. I was grinning through this one. It was fantastic. Ironside 3 gave a very, very good account of themselves. Unfortunately, Carbide's superior weapon in terms of its RPM and Carbide's custom motor managed to finally knock out Ironside 3's bar spinner and then Ironside 3 itself after Ironside 3 managed to run away for a bit. On closer inspection, actually, Carbide came millimeters away from losing their chain to Ironside 3, which would have been the mother of all upsets, and then potentially could have led to a situation where Carbide and Ironside 3 would have been in the grand final. Alas, it is not. Well, or is it? But at this point, no. Ironside 3 and Eruption are on 3 points, and Aftershock are on 0. But if Aftershock win, and if they get themselves built up properly, they could do it again. Aftershock winning would put all three of them on 3 points. Well, before judge decision, anyway. And then the judges would have to decide between those three who goes through to fight Carbide. That's one draw you probably don't want to have if it wasn't for the fact it was for the title of Robot Wars Champion. So, you have Aftershock versus Eruption. Aftershock managed to get some polycarbonate on now, so they're actually quite good. Although, again, that's not really mentioned by the BBC. Maybe there's just too much going on in the background. I don't know. So, Eruption start by getting underneath Aftershock, and that, fortunately, Aftershock's weapon's just too high up. In this case, against the Eruption. Eruption throw Aftershock into the Dial of Doom, hit the Roadhouse Robots button, and also rip some of the floor off thanks to Aftershock's weapon being flipped upside down. So they have to check the floor again after Aftershock manages to rip the first bit of floor off in the group stage. So finally, they get back going. Both teams agree that they will continue with a slightly damaged floor, but what a match. At this point, I just put, I can't type. Just because I was so captivated. That's the first time in a long time a match genuinely stopped me from typing properly. So my summary notes: Eruption couldn't properly flip Aftershock due to the power and excellent design of Aftershock, because even though Aftershock sort of lift themselves into the air a little bit sometimes, that sheer power of that spinner actually keeps them reasonably level with the ground, even when they're in the air. So they usually land back up on their feet. When they don't, though, that spinner is able to get them mostly upright, although there was one incident where they spent a while on their backs. I would have powered down up at that point, to be honest, and got it spinning up again and try and correct that problem, using the change in momentum to try and counter inertia they were suffering there. Before that, though, Aftershock even managed to stop the metal from attacking it by facing the weapon towards their metal's, or yeah, towards their circular saw. This made me laugh a bit, and it looks like the audience enjoyed that one too, because their metal didn't actually know what to do. At this point now, I think their metal is now considered the weakest of the house robots, which is a great shame, but someone's got to be the weakest house robot. Despite taking some hits from Aftershock, Eruption survived long enough to see out Aftershock, who finally died out with just the sheer amount of power that's going through the Aftershock, I think, in the end. Because they managed, that, I have to say, yeah, considering the last battle, they had no power left, their weapon, they had to be rebuilt, and it destroyed part of their own electrics doing that. That the fact it's rebuilt, they've realigned it properly so it's not hitting itself again. That's remarkable. Dara says this was easily the best fight of the series. It was definitely swung back and forth, although Aftershock did destroy the arena, which kind of ruined the battle in some way by disrupting the flow. They managed to pick it up almost where it left off, as it were. That was, again, despite my hatred of flippers, I think this was a. I do agree with Dara, it was an excellent fight, but I don't agree that it was the best fight of the series. I think that goes for the previous head-to-head, where it was basically a lightsaber battle. Which just visually was just spectacular. Yes, there was a lot of power in the last battle, and this one was much more tactical, but still had a great amount of power in it. I don't know. They almost went the whole hog going to a judge's decision as well. So, here we are, the grand final of Carbide and Eruption. Can Eruption overcome the odds, or is the rise of the Carnage weapons finally coming to fruition? So, Kilot doesn't get a mention, but you can see him on the camera in the arena. So, this one's actually quite fun as well. I mean, Carbide managed to get around the side of Eruption and continued to do so for about 30 seconds, just taking bits out of Eruption. But the Eruption stand up quite well, and Eruption tried to flip Carbide. There's a big hit from Carbide for Eruption onto the floor flipper. But again, Eruption's still alive, they're still moving, and even managed a great flip on Carbide, sending him into the air and demonstrating how well engineered the Eruption actually is. Although, after that, it's quite clear Eruption is stuck spinning in a circle as one of their wheels is stuck. Yeah, and after Carbide dish out a few hits, Eruption just have bits of wire and armor all over the place. Poor Eruption. And Carbide's worthy winners, obviously, of the grand final and of the championship overall for this series of Robot Wars. They were just in a different league. But credit to Eruption for lasting so long. They lasted well over a minute, and apparently they were the only robot to do so against Carbide in this entire series, which is remarkable. And they're also the only one to do a flip against Carbide, which is surprising when you think about it. But Eruption are the flip specialists in this one. So, what are my concluding thoughts? Well, great final in the end. Although the BBC mentor, I don't know if they don't talk to each other or if they deliberately agreed to not mention too much on the show and let the fans like me make podcasts about this and point out all their flaws deliberately and then have some sort of bet about what they pick up on. There's probably a drinking game involved somewhere in the Glasgow office somewhere for Mentorn. I don't know. I don't mind. If you are listening to this, Mentorn, hello. I'm in the past again. But other than that, yeah, no, it's been a great series for the most part. Say what you like about me not being able to say the Dial of Doom or Jonathan Pierce and Joey Paxman sharing the same initials, or the fact that Dara O'Brien occasionally can't pronounce things properly. The robots themselves held up have demonstrated just how far they've come even from last year. Almost like the jump in between series 1 and 2 of Robot Wars when the Rex Garage comes along with that devil of a robot Cassius and brings about the revolution in flippers. Or even the jump between series 4 and 5 when Razor finally wins the world title and the British title of Robot Wars. Yeah, it's just incredible how far these robots have come along. And as Apollo said, when they were knocked out, the power of upgrading these robots has been amazing, and they're going to have to redesign their robot to account for that. So, next series, are we going to see more of the same? Well, unfortunately, I'm under a disclosure agreement to not say anything. But, as I keep saying in my intros and my outros, I have been Ali, the driver of Big Day 3, and thank you for listening. Alright, now, how do you turn this thing on? Oh god, it's still recording! Ah!